Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Minister Wayne. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to RealDaddyRadio.com, and we come to you in the name of the Lord. Folks, today we have a very special broadcast. And the broadcast is basically about marriage, the importance of marriage, and what marriage really means. Because a lot of times people just think marriage is two people cohabiting together, two people living together, you know? And sometimes the worst people to give an example of marriage can sometimes, sadly, be church people. It's true. It can be church people sometimes. I've been married twice before I figured it out. Before I figured out what marriage really means. So let me tell you guys, in no uncertain terms, what I figured out. One, the most important thing to know about marriage is where it comes from, what it represents, why God created it. Because, of course, you realize it didn't have to be that way. God could have made marriage between a woman and a woman. He could have made it between a man and a man, a gorilla and a man, a dog and a man. He could have did it a number of ways, but it wouldn't have been right. And God is a righteous God. So he do everything right. Everything makes sense. Everything adds up. 1 + 1 = 1. 2 + 2 = 4. That's the way it works. Cohesive. Together. A perfectly fitting puzzle. Marriage. We go into it without really understanding it. And I did that twice. We go into it without really understanding it. It's like knowing that it's a constitution, but not knowing what it really says. Knowing it's a constitution, but not knowing your rights. Knowing it's a constitution, but not how to apply it. So let me give you some insight, some facts on marriage. First of all, marriage. It's a covenant. It's a covenant. And it's a covenant that resembles and replicates the covenant that God has with us, human beings. God is a God of relationships. God has relationships. He has relationships with angels. He has relationship with the guardians, with the seraphim. He has relationship with the archangels. throughout the Bible, is full of covenants, promises that God made with individuals and with nations, with people. Full of covenants, promises, agreements, contractual obligations, the marriage, the covenant, the marriage, the agreement, the two people marrying, braiding together as one, in word and deed, in thought and in action. Two people becoming one. The marriage symbolizes the relationship that human beings have with God Almighty. It symbolizes that relationship. God says he would never leave us or forsake us. Covenant of marriage. Never leaving or forsaking. To death do us part. It's an agreement that no matter what happens, we will never leave each other or forsake each other. Marriage, symbolic of the covenant relationship that human beings have with God. Marriage, covenant. God giving his life was a covenant. Covenant that if you accepted his death, burial, and resurrection, that you have a spot in heaven. If you believe that. It's a covenant. It's a promise. It's an agreement. That's what the marriage is. A covenant. A promise, an agreement that's sealed in blood. It's written on paper, the marriage license, the document that you both signed. You agree not to leave or forsake each other under no circumstance. No matter what winds blow, no matter what experience you have to go through, it's symbolic of the relationship, the marriage that he had with human beings. What do you mean marriage? Having sex, the agreement, the covenant that we made with God, that God made with man. That we agreed to. That's what marriage symbolizes. That's why God says he's married to the backslider. We're called the bride of Christ. It's forever. It's forever. But here's the catch 22 to that. Here's the catch 22 to that. Did you know that when God made the covenant with Abraham, that he's still honoring that covenant today? That was almost 4,000 years ago. A little over 4,000 years ago. And it's God still honoring it. The rainbow that didn't exist until after the flood, and God set up in the sky as a reminder that he would never destroy the earth again. And now listen to me. Listen to me. This is the covenant that God made. We might break it, but he's not going to break it. as much as has happened in the world, God has not, again, no matter how disrespectful, how low down, how wicked, how evil men have become since the last time he destroyed human life, except Noah and his family, he still haven't done it. And look how rebellious and treacherous and evil and low down and dirty and wicked human beings have become since then. He still haven't done it. He's still going to go according to his covenant that he made. He's still going to keep the covenant that he made, the promises that he made, and everything is going to happen just like the Bible said it would. Because God's not going to take no shortcuts. He's going to do it just like he said he would. That's why we know these are the last days, because everything happened just like he said it would. And you got to do just what you said you would do when you made your vows. When it says keep your vows to the Lord and don't turn back, it's talking about your marriage. Why is it talking about your marriage? Because the marriage is symbolic. The relationship between the man and the woman is symbolic between the relationship and human beings. And when you stand before God, listen to me, this is crucial. That's why you can't accept it. This is why you can't accept divorce as a believer. And even if you're a sympathizer, you're not fully convinced, or you're not fully giving it 100% of living your life for Christ with everything that you have, but you're doing a little bit, the relationship will be honored regardless of what the other person does. That's why the Bible says that Christ, we'll leave him, and he won't leave us, but we'll leave him. And even when we leave him, like a good husband, he come looking for us, and he wait patiently, and he pray, hope, and believe, and he stay true to his vow, irregardless of if we love him back or not. I'm just telling you what the marriage is symbolic of, why God created it, why he created the institution of marriage, because it's a replica of the relationship he had with us and the agreement that he made with us. This is the very beginning of the relationship that human beings have with God. When your children are growing up and they watching you guys interact, they watching the relationship between them and God played out in real time. And when they get old enough and you start explaining to them the Bible and how it's broken down and what it means, it's a lot easier to understand because they've been watching mama and daddy in this symbolic marriage that represents the relationship with God, and it's easy to comprehend and digest. It's not such a far-fetched idea that God is real, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is real, and the Bible is real, and mama and daddy who preached it and lived it and worshipped in it, that it's legitimate and genuine. How come? Because no matter what, it was to death do us part. We've made a vow and we won't turn back. I took a few notes. I don't have my glasses. Let's see if I can see. Abraham is a Hebrew word that means the prince of God, and Sarah is a Hebrew word that means princess of God. The foundation of the Christian and Jewish beliefs are all based on covenants. God is a God of covenants. Marriage is a deal that you made. And you made it before God, saying that you understand that, watch this, every day won't be Sunday. You might go through a whole year and not feel no love. You might go 6 months and don't feel no love, but your marriage is not based on feelings. Well, you know, I feel like your marriage is not based on feelings. Our relationship with God is not based on feelings. It's based on our testimony and our experiences. That's why we know that God will never leave us or forsake us, because we've been walking with him for so long. We've been through so many difficult circumstances where we know we should have fell by the wayside, but we didn't, when others fell by the wayside right in front of us. Even me right now with the COVID-19, business is falling by the way. But when you walk with God and you stay faithful, not perfect, because believe it or not, despite popular opinion, and especially for marriage folks, I need to tell you something. There are no perfect people in heaven. Not one perfect person ever made it to heaven. It's not for perfect people. I know that sounds contrary to everything you've ever been taught, but that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that. Heaven is not for perfect people. Heaven is for faithful people. Stay faithful in your marriage. Stay faithful in your marriage. And that's how you get the promised land. That's how you get the 50. That's how you get the 25. In the 30-year package, staying faithful. And just like what marriage is symbolic of with the relationship between man and God, you have to be forgiving and merciful and kind. The fruits of the Spirit starts with your wife. The fruits of the Spirit starts with your husband. Your religion starts with your family. Your faith in God, it starts with your family, not with your church. Or that building that you go to, should I say? Charity begins at home. The love of God is demonstrated at home. See, sometimes with a lot of preachers, sometimes, and I know this because I grew up in church. I know this. I grew up around preachers. Sometimes they tend to spend or put the church before their wives. And remember, the wife, the marriage relationship is a replica, symbolic of, and exists solely because God wants us to understand the relationship that we have with him. No other reason. He wants us to understand the relationship we have with him. And he's a forgiving God. Which means what? You have to be a forgiving husband. You have to be a forgiving wife. He said he's thrown into the sea of forgiveness. Which means you can't bring it up when you get angry the next day or the next week. Being a Christian is being Christ-like. The woman is submissive to her husband because we are submissive to Christ, not because we're all of that, not because, you know, it's of the testosterone or the male factor. That's not it at all. It's that we symbolize Christ, and our wives symbolize human beings, the church. So you can't separate, divide. There is no division in God. There's no separation in God. There's no conquering God. There's no defeating God. So what God joined together, let no man what? Now this is, listen. This is not a matter of opinion. This is scripture. This is what the Bible says. And it's not what I think or how I'm breaking it down. This is just scripture. I got to agree with it or put it down. You feel me? I'm subject to it too. We all are. It's the word of God. What it symbolizes is what I'm trying to show you. Why it's so important that you stay true to your vow that you made before God. It's just like the vow that you made when you accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Getting married is the same thing because it's the representing the relationship that we have with Christ. And remember, we fell from grace. We all sinners saved by grace. It had to be a point in our lives where we asked God to come into our hearts and not live for ourselves, but live for the kingdom, live for the glory of Christ. Some point in our lives, we stole and didn't stop stealing. We lied and stopped lying. We were cheaters and stopped cheating. We were fornicators and stopped fornicating. We were adulterers and stopped committing adultery. See? And when I became a man, I put away childish things. I left my mama and clung to my wife. I left my daddy and clung to my wife. A man leaves his mother and his father and clings to his wife. And I began to build my own family and understand better the relationship between me and God by understanding the relationship between my wife and I. Those dynamics, it's the same with God. It's the same. We've had good years, and we've had years where we struggled. Let's face it. Let's be honest. In our Christian walk with God, we've had good months, and we had some bad months. We had some good days, and we had some rough days. The marriage relationship, we did what? Stayed faithful. See? Stay faithful. It's not about your feelings. It's not even about you being wrong. Because remember, what God brought and what it took for him to do that, when we blatantly, the scripture says, we blatantly and disrespectfully sinned against God, knowingly and intentionally. And he looked beyond our faults and saw our needs. You got to do that for your wife. You got to do that for your husband. Because God is watching. And at the end of the day, he is the one who you made your vow to keep your vow to your spouse. So you didn't just promise your husband or your wife. You got to remember that. It can't be, oh, God brought me this man, or oh, God brought me this woman, thank you, Jesus. And then when you have a problem, well, we've been having problems for 2 years, okay. It don't mean that it's okay to walk away. Let me tell you something. When I told you that there was no perfect people in heaven, I'm going to bring all this down to marriage. All this is going to make sense. Because in the marriage, you create a family. When you accept Christ into your life and you marry and come and sup with him and he comes and moves in with you and takes abode with you and your heart becomes his shelter, y'all become one, and y'all in an intimate relationship, you begin to have children. and you take those children and you teach them the way you've been taught. And it keeps going. That's the way it is with God, our relationship with God, and all of God's children. It's the same way. Now listen. There are no perfect people in heaven. The Bible says the race is not given to the swift or to the strong. But he that endures to the end, endurance, faithful, all the way to the end, all the way to the end. Enter in, thy good and faithful servant, if you make it. This is what you hear if you make it to heaven. Enter in, the Bible says this. Enter in, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Come enter thy in to the joy of the Lord. Even then, you weren't faithful for everything. So quit trying to be perfect in life. Quit pretending you're perfect in front of people. And don't try to be perfect with each other. It's a mistake. Perfection is a reality that is not part of this world. The only thing about this world is perfect is creation itself. And even creation itself is waiting in birth pain for the sons of God to show up and show out. My name is Minister Wayne. This is Real Daddy Radio, and we're talking about marriage and what it really means and what it's symbolic of and why you can't break that. It's a cardinal sin, just like it's, oh man, it's serious. I can't tell you how serious divorce really is, and we've been tricked. We've been hoodwinked and bamboozled to make us think that, oh well, you know, it didn't work out. That's not true. That's a lie. You stop working, and then it stopped working out. The only thing that beats a failure is a try. As long as you keep trying, there's not a failure. But here's the thing. You say, well, I can't do it by myself. You sure right about that. You can't do it by yourself. And you're not going to do it by yourself. You and God going to do it together. Because whatever partner is a problem, God will deal with that person. That I can guarantee. But you got to do right. Because at the end of the day, you and your husband are not going to stand before God together. Remember, this is only a replica. You're not going to be married in heaven. Remember, there is no marriage in heaven. Remember that. You're not going to have a husband in heaven. I don't care if you're married for 50 years, 80 years here on earth. It doesn't matter. You're not going to heaven with it. It's just symbolic. It's a replica of what your relationship with God is. And that whole time you was married, you were supposed to be getting a better understanding of your relationship with God. The whole time. That's what she represented. That's what he represented. You're lost. And you don't have it figured out. Because you don't know. And the reason why you don't know, haven't talked. Because the Bible says, speak and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. So well, you say, well, Wayne, why you got what? I'm listening to you now. That's by God's divine providence. That's by his mercy. This is his last will and testament. That's what this is. See? What this is right here. This is God saying, final call. You got to remember, these are the last days. This ain't training school time. All that's over with. You got to put your big boy pants on, and it's a war, and you got to load up, and you got to cock it, aim it, and squeeze the trigger, because it's real. This thing is real. This is not a game. The marriage covenant established by God, it's very serious because it represents him and his system. Here's the thing. So many people don't realize they're out of the will of God by getting divorced and through unrepentance, have gotten remarried, and never was supposed to get divorced the first time. And according to scripture, they live in adultery. According to scripture, might have a whole new husband, but according to scripture, they living in adultery when it's unrepentant. This thing is very serious, and I feel very fortunate and very blessed to have been given the opportunity to learn what it really means and who my spouse really represents. Do it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. That's the least of these, my brethren. We're talking about your wife. So we went from kicking God in the shin to the least of these, my brethren, to slapping God in the face with dishonoring our marriage vows. Because we forget he's part of it. We made him part of it. And we can't make the decision to exit it on our own. We didn't make the decision to come together on our own. Did you? Did you? No, you didn't. But now you want to take it on your own to do what? Make the final decision yourself. That's what gets you sent to hell. That's what happens. It is not, listen to me. It is not perfect obedience that gets us into heaven. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. That's not what gets us into heaven. Let me tell you what gets us into heaven. Faithfulness. Faithfulness, trusting, and hoping in the eternal salvation of Jesus Christ. Don't get me wrong, following the commandments of God are crucial. But here's the thing, nobody can get it right. Not one person on earth can get it right. Not one. And throughout history, have not one person been able to get it right. Or maybe one. But that's it. So what does that tell me? I don't need to do that. I need to put my faith, confidence, hope, and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Finished because they got married. Who did he marry? Us. We're his bride. Who is my wife? Us. Who do I represent? Him. This marriage is not your own. It doesn't belong to you. Are you going to face the consequences of Almighty God? And what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and then lose his own soul behind not keeping a vow that he made to God and not honoring what represents? To walk away from it is to walk away from the covenant of Christ.
No, it's not.
Prove it.
It's not like that.
Prove it. Show it to me in the Bible, because I'll show it to you where it is. And at the end of the day, I want to cap it off with L-O-V-E, and I'm about to close. L-O-V-E. L-O-V-E. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me do this. Let me do this. Myra, love. I want to end this off with love. Myra, come here for a second, babe. We're going to end this off with love. Love. L-O-V-E. This is amazing what I'm about to show you here.
Hey, honey. Hey, do me a favor. Oh, you asleep? Oh, I'm sorry, baby. Go back to sleep. Never mind. Don't trip. Don't worry. Don't trip. I'm sorry. Okay. Love has a definition. It has a true and honest definition. And the Bible says this: though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Hold on. I want y'all to really get this. First Corinthians, in the 13th chapter. Do I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity? I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And do I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge? And do I have all faith so that I could remove mountains? And have not charity, I am nothing. And do I bestow all my goods to feed the poor? And do I give my body to be burned and have not charity? It profiteth me nothing. Do you have charity for your wife? Do you have charity for your husband? Charity suffereth long. Charity is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Want to be heard because it's not my fault. Charity don't do that. Charity is not puffed up, egotistical, prideful. Charity is long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doeth not behave itself unseemly. Charity seeketh not her own. Charity is not easily provoked. Charity thinketh no evil. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity. Nobody get no excitement that you're going to get a divorce. That's not good news to people that love you. That's terrible news. That's bad news. People that have the love of God in their hearts, that's not good news. That's not acceptable news. That's bad news. Charity rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Charity.
Where did that come from? Hold on. Got a little glitch in my system here. Okay. Charity beareth all things. Charity believeth all things. Charity hopeth all things. Charity endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall speak. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, ain't nobody perfect, none perfect but creation. But when that is perfect,
is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I lived as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. That's why I say, man up. That's why I say, man up. Don't you know a good soldier, when his commanding officer comes and say, soldier, I thought I told you to clean that floor. And the soldier actually cleans the floor. He spent quite a amount of time cleaning that floor. But one of his buddies came through and threw some Pepsi on the floor and didn't pick it up. But you know what the soldier does? When he get admonished by his superior officer, he don't go in and say, oh, it wasn't my fault. It was so-and-so, waste soul on the floor. He takes full responsibility, even when it's not his fault, because it's called manning up. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. My feelings ain't in it. My feelings not in it. My heart and my mind, but not my feelings. I'm riding on my intellect. But now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. I'm going to know God like he know me. And now about his faith. Now about his charity. Now about his hope. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. At home, husband, keep your house together. Keep it tight. Man up.
All right, folks. Texas Rib Shack. We in the house.